We have 48 degrees right now outside our studios at Friends Plaza in Urbana. Reminder that a high wind warning will take effect at noon for most of our severe weather coverage area, and it takes effect at 3 p.m. in Ford County. The time now is 8:50, time for the pre-opening market report on WILL with Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jim, and good Thursday morning, everyone. The Commerce Department today says that the U.S. economy grew at an annual rate of 3.1% over the summer. That is the Commerce Department's third and final estimate of growth for the July-September quarter, and it was revised up from the estimate of 2.7% annual growth last month. This morning, USDA reported export shipments for the week ending December 13th. The numbers look like this: in millions of bushels, wheat this year 23.9, next year 0.7, corn this year 4.5, next year 0.2, soybeans this year 22.8, next year 0.4. Meanwhile, private exporters today reported to USDA cancellations of export sales of 540,000 metric tons of soybeans to China during the 2012-13 marketing year. Earlier this week, China canceled 300,000 metric tons of soybeans, and unknown, believed to be China, canceled 120,000 metric tons of soybeans. Japan today purchased 121,026 metric tons of milling wheat in four grades for bulk shipment. Of that total, just over 91,000 metric tons is of U.S. origin. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 13,233, is down almost 19 points. The NASDAQ at 3,035 is down about 9, and the S&P 500 is 1,434. It's down 1.5 points.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Blizzard warnings will continue today across a portion of the upper Midwest as one of the biggest snow events of the season gets underway. The snow is already focusing mostly on hard red winter wheat country at this hour, with an increase in precipitation starting to evolve across a part of the west central U.S. plains. The storm system looks rather innocent on the charts at this hour, with not much in the way of significant snowfall occurring. A little bit of light shower activity is occurring across a portion of the central plains. Showers are in the forms of some light rain and some drizzle. Most of the significant snow is in the Nebraska Panhandle and parts of north central Colorado. What's interesting to note is the low pressure center is currently located in west central Kansas. The winds are beginning to pick up, notably in eastern Colorado, with sustained speeds of 20 to 30 miles per hour. And this is just the beginning. The storm system will move from western Kansas through a portion of the western Corn Belt and into the upper Midwest over the next 36 hours. And in the wake of the storm's movement will be substantial amounts of snow from Nebraska through Iowa into Wisconsin. We'll likely see anywhere from 4 to 10 inches across Iowa, maybe 2 to 6 across Nebraska with some locally greater amounts near the Iowa border. And then we'll likely see the portions of Wisconsin getting anywhere from 8 to as much as 15 inches from the storm system. It is going to be a blizzard for many of these areas. The wind speeds will be sustained at 20 to 30 and some gusts of 40 miles per hour. In fact, there'll be some gusts out there in the plains reaching up 50 miles per hour here later this afternoon. And we do expect to see the travel across these states being just absolutely horrendous later this evening and into the night tonight, so be aware of that. And travel is going to be a problem out of the Chicago area as we go through the day tomorrow, as conditions across that region deteriorate rather quickly. The storm system will be focused more on Wisconsin, but we'll certainly see a fair amount of snow in northwestern and north central sections of Illinois, with lighter amounts in the Chicago area, but still enough to cause a disruption to air travel as well as some land travel issues as well. A lot of this precipitation will put at least some potential out there for some increases in runoff Later, when the snow melts, portions of the middle Mississippi and lower Missouri River basins could see an increase in runoff as the snow melts, but the question is, when will that occur? There will be some melting that will take place over the weekend as a little bit of a warming trend starts to take place, so maybe slowly we'll put a little bit more moisture into the river systems, but don't look for the barge restrictions to be notably changed during any part of this next couple of weeks. There are two other storm systems expected to impact the Midwest as we move forward in time. Before I talk about those, let me just cover the rain event on this first system. We will see rain occurring from the Delta and portions of the Tennessee River Basin northward into the lower eastern Midwest, and moisture totals will run 1/4 to 3/4 of an inch with local amounts to 1.5 inches from this event. That adds more runoff potential for many areas that are already wet and experiencing some notable runoff in the past storm system or two. Now, the next system that impacts the Midwest is no longer the big major storm system that was suggested yesterday. It's a smaller system. It impacts the region early next week, and it produces rain and snow in a light manner. I think the storm system will change additionally in future model runs, so be aware of that. A third storm system will likely impact the Delta and the southeastern states during the middle part of next week, and it will move northeastward to impact much of the northeastern part of the country and the eastern Midwest. That storm system may produce a significant amount of snow in the lower eastern Midwest, and we'll watch that closely. Temperatures across the region are going to be cooling down as the storminess increases, but it will still be warm today in many areas with 40 and 50 degree highs in the eastern Midwest. West, 20 and 30 degree readings in the west. We'll look for temperatures tomorrow only in the teens and 20s in the western Corn Belt, while the 40s and 50s continue in the east, and then that cooler air will expand to the east as we move into Friday. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Thank you very much, Drew. Let's look at the electronic trade in Kansas City. March wheat, 8.43 1/4, down 14 3/4. July is 8.59 1/4, down 13 3/4. March wheat in Chicago, 7.89 1/4, down 16 1/2. July, 8.05 1/4, down 17 3/4. March corn, 6.91 1/2, down 11 1/2. July, 6.94, down 11 3/4. December 13, 6.05, down 8 1/2. January soybeans, 14.16 3/4, down 20 1/4. July, 13.97 1/2, down 16 1/2. November 13, 12.93 1/4, down 7 3/4. January soybean meal, $4.29.50, down $7. January soybean oil, $47.97, down $44. December live cattle, $128.80, down 67 1/2. January feeders, $153.12 1/2, down 35. February lean hogs, $86.05, down 52 1/2. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
To you, Dave.
4 days and March beans have moved $1.03 1/2, although they're off their lows this morning.
Yep, you lose a dollar in a few days, and all you can say is spec long liquidation. Yep, we really don't have a lot to stop this thing because it's mostly just computer generated technical selling here in the market. Pretty much the export bookings that came out this morning, I think, are just going to be blown off as old news, and we need something to catch and work this market a little bit more stable.
Well, given the fact that we also had more cancellations today of old crop soybeans, 540,000 metric tons, the sale is not going to be viewed as anything.
No, it won't be. And, we've been talking about cancellations all the time. China's pretty well known for canceling sales when the market's working lower, and they'll pick them up at some point in time on this hard break, I think.
Or will they start looking to South America because those beans are coming online in a month?
They'll be coming online maybe a little bit longer than that, Dave, than 1 month because of some late planting, and they'll buy them from some source. It probably doesn't matter with the world supply of beans relatively tight.
What we learned in the corn pit was, well, despite including the bad export sales yet again, that if you go and try a level 8 times, eventually you're going to knock on the door and go through it.
Yeah, we sure did. When we went to 70-whatever yesterday, it seemed like, well, maybe we'll kind of hold here above that 705 low we put in for the nearby month at the end of September, and we sure didn't hold that overnight. Looks like the next stopping point on the March corn is about 679.
And wheat also on the defensive, too. And all these are on the defensive for various reasons, but it seems like one is on the defensive and they're working together on the defensive to create an overall bearish tone. And, of course, wheat is the fact it's snowing like crazy in wheat country.
Yeah, finally getting some moisture, although the fellows that I've talked to in the western part of Nebraska and Kansas say that the wind is so fierce that the snow is blowing off. We need just, you know, moisture that goes right down into this crop. There's an awful lot of problems yet in this wheat crop.
Thank you much, Ellen. That's Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Current take in the marketplace, March corn, 692.5 down 10.5. January soybeans are 14.14, and they are down 23. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 9:01 Central Time.